Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
In a blistering 12 hours today, we've had the US announce a pause to military aid to Ukraine. Russia praised that US decision. The EU responded with a potential 800 billion euro promise to step up its defences and reiterated support for Ukraine. And in the last hour, we've had a statement from the Ukraine President Volodymyr Zelensky, who said last Friday's fiery meeting with Donald Trump was regrettable and did not go the way he was supposed to. And he said now that he's proposed a new peace plan and announced some steps to make fast peace happen. Joining me now to discuss all of this and the fallout, I'm joined by Fine Gael MEP for Midlands Northwest, Maria Walsh, and by Jennifer Ewing from Republican Overseas UK. You're both very welcome indeed to the programme. I might come to you first of all, Jennifer. What do you make of this new statement from President Zelensky, who said that the bust-up, let's say, in the Oval Office was regrettable and that he's ready to work under President Trump's strong leadership to negotiate a peace deal and ready to sign a minerals deal, he says.
Hi, thanks for having me. Yeah, I don't think it's too much of a surprise at all. I think President Zelensky, unfortunately, in the lead up to that meeting on Friday, he was meeting with some U.S. Democrat senators at the Hay Adams Hotel, and I think they probably prepped him in the wrong way for that meeting. For those of us, I'm sure you did, watched almost 50 minutes mm-hmm. of the exchange. The first 40 minutes were, you know, they were pretty good. I think the most surprising thing about the entire thing was by the end, you know, Trump was kind of the most patient adult in the room. J.D. Vance definitely threw a few grenades in there that both President Zelensky and President Trump were going to react to. But what all of us want is peace and the end to this war, then we've got to look at, did Friday move us closer to that or move us further away from that?
And who do you think is responsible? You feel obviously that Friday moved us further away from peace. President Zelensky was to blame. Is that right for that?
Well, I don't think it's as simple as that. I don't think it's black and white. Somebody was to blame, somebody wasn't to blame. I mean, you know, Zelensky clearly went in there having said he was ready to sign the minerals deal. You know, he was going to do it in Munich. He was going to do it prior to that. And then he was going to do it in Washington. So then he starts talking about other security guarantees. And
that
sort of sent the entire thing off course. And at the end of the day, I think what the Americans want is for the Europeans to step up what they're paying. And surprise, that's exactly happened with that, big package.
So I think it's moving
in the right direction.
Okay,
now.
So I see where you're coming from. Let me bring in Maria Walsh for your reading of what's happening. Say with me, Jennifer, at that Oval Office bust-up, President Trump was the most patient adult in the room because President Zelensky started looking for other guarantees, security guarantees, as opposed to just signing the minerals deal. And this U-turn, for want of a better word, Maria, today is no surprise, says Jennifer.
Thank you to you having me on. I certainly wouldn't call President Trump the adult in the room from watching the 50 minutes or in various rooms with various leaders over these since he's taken office. But I'm conscious President Zelensky has made a decision best for his country. I will say, though, it's disappointing he's strong-armed, which I assume what is happening here when you have a rollback of such a powerful country like NATO member, the United States, and when you have Putin and the Kremlin celebrating the decisions of the last number of hours and days on pushing Ukraine to decide whether they have potentially another invasion and further invasion like they had in Crimea in 2014, and more and more of their sovereignty taken. I assume that was the case given the minerals deal that is now put on the table. But can I also say, like, what's not getting the headlines here is not just what's happening in the White House, but in other forms of Trump administration. I mean, the Secretary General Bondi ordered a halt to federal law enforcement initiatives to combat secret influence campaigns by Russia and China and other traditional members right across the states. On top of that, you have a disbanded efforts to seize assets of Russian oligarchs. So it's not just what's being played out against Ukraine.
Well,
it's also what's being played out in proposing and promoting and supporting Russia in ultimately what is happening is an invasion of a country that is not theirs.
It's incredibly disappointing
to see this.
Leaving Ukraine virtually defenseless and supporting Putin and Russian oligarchs, Jennifer.
Well, I mean, I don't think Ukraine's going to be virtually defenseless because we've just seen the Europeans come in and say they're going to start, you know, paying up more to support Ukraine. Also, the whole Russia situation, what's gone on for the last 3 years, sanctions and whatnot, has not worked. We're in a stalemate. And I think that the Biden administration, as long with the Europeans, quite frankly, they were fine. I mean, for 3 years, nobody's done anything. The EU has continued to buy more fossil fuels from Russia. I think it's almost 22, you know, billion euros, more than the aid they've been giving to Ukraine. So what are we doing here? We want peace. This war needs to stop. And I think that's the movement that that President Trump and the administration are moving towards. And thank God Europe and the UK are finally getting with the program and discussing peace as well.
Okay, is that true, Maria? Because I don't know that offhand, that the EU continues to buy fossil fuels from Russia greater than the sanctions imposed.
No, that's not true.
Center for Research on Energy, yes, it is 2024. You can look it up. I would not have said it if it wasn't verifiable.
Great. Well, just to come in over, Miss Ewing, I mean, ultimately, the Western world is facing one of the most serious crises that we've ever faced since 1945. And to counteract that in terms of the expense now on the table, the financial support led by the Commission today, it is an understanding that if Russia, supported by the United States and the Trump administration, pushes further into Ukraine, sadly, we see that again and again and again, we are going to have a terrifying reality on our shores in the European Union. And I agree with Jennifer in one way, we want to get to peace. But I certainly don't believe the European Union, particularly the Irish government, want peace when the likes of important actors like the Ukraine are far from the table. And that is what we've been repeatedly told by the Trump administration again and again and again. So I call all adults around the table, but it's important that we have all stakeholders and that we understand the realities of what we're faced with right now, because we have an administration that is not appreciative or respectful of their words. We see that in the Middle East. I know a different conversation, but we see that again and again and again. And we have the fact that we are facing crisis, and Ukraine is rightly so getting this support from the EU. I would have called for it sooner, actually, and I'm glad to see it's now.
Isn't that one thing, Maria, that Donald Trump has done? He's exposed a complacency within the European Union here, that the US will defend us, that the US will deter our foes. No coherent defence capabilities, no coherent strategy. The European Union, of which you're an MEP, has been exposed big time here.
I don't agree with that. Can I just say, from a member state, defence has always been of the sovereignty. Hence the reason why, as a country, Ireland has kept our military neutrality stance. And it's important to say, though, countries very closest to Ukraine has been calling for supports for a long time at an EU-wide level.
And if Trump invades an EU country, what happens? What does Ireland do?
I think we got to come to the realities. I'm more pro-defense in the sense of being crisis ready and prepared. I think the fact that we have a Taoiseach now, and I hope the Irish government as a whole will support the increase in funding. When you look at other countries that are military reacher, like Malta and Austria, we have to get to the $3 billion annual spending.
Should we maintain
and
our neutrality?
That's a decision for the government
and
Irish people as a whole.
This goes to the heart of the question that I asked.
No, I appreciate that. That's a decision made by the Irish people.
And I'm asking for your opinion as an elected representative.
Yeah, and I appreciate the fact that we are now in a very, very different climate than we were a year ago, never mind 5 years ago. I do believe we have to have a defence force, like I would say, around our firefighters, our medical professionals, that we have to be prepared. We're an island nation that do not own all of our waters that surrounds us. We have a responsibility as an EU member state, most west periphery,
should we have an EU
be prepared
defense
for ourselves.
Should we have an EU defence force with Irish soldiers in it?
Yeah, I understand where you're asking. That's a question led for the Irish people.
No, I'm asking your opinion only. No, I know you're not in the Irish government. You're not a minister. I'm asking you as an MEP, what is your opinion?
I do believe we have to pay our dividends, and we do that within peacekeepers. Hence the reason why today's discussion around the triple
up. So low is the answer.
Can I just say though, I am pro defence. I think we cannot expect other member states to uphold the values that we are fortunate to be a part of. I do believe though we have to be independent of our military build up, and that is the 3 billion annual increase in funding, along with leveling to level 3, and it's up to the Irish people to decide, but we do have to be prepared.
Okay.
We have to be prepared.
US President Jennifer says he should get a Nobel Peace Prize, but Maria suggests that Ukraine is being strong-armed here, and in terms of the mineral deal that they're forcing the Ukraine to sign, isn't this really just old-style imperial conquest and exploitation of resources? Sign me over a chunk of your house and I'll make sure your mad neighbour won't burn it down.
Well, actually, I think, you know, a lot of people will agree that Trump, if he had been president, Putin would not have invaded Ukraine. And we know that because Trump's the only U.S. president of our last four, Bush, Obama, Biden, Putin did not invade another country under. So,
now he's inherited this war. Ridiculous, unquantifiable, right? Unprovable assertion.
Well, no. I mean, Putin invaded Georgia under Bush, and he invaded Ukraine under Obama, and again under
Biden. Go on, though. In terms of the minerals deal.
Okay, so I'm getting to that. So basically, Trump inherited a war that he campaigned on saying wouldn't have happened under me, and I will stop it. I think he said 24 hours. Obviously, it's been more than 24 hours. But we're talking about in the first couple of months here. So this should be no surprise to anyone. And what he's saying is, you know, the U.S., and I know you can argue about the numbers, whether his billion is, you know, exaggerated. But he feels that... the security guarantee we are going to give is certainly not going to be boots on the ground. It's not going to be more weapons. It is going to be our interests in their minerals and resources. And if U.S. companies have interests, then you think we're going to sit here and let Russia harm that?
An imperial conquest, isn't it?
But can you speak a very creative solution?
But hang on. You're praying.
It's a creative solution.
You're preying on a vulnerable state whose sovereignty has been impugned and transgressed by an enemy of the U.S.
So what should we do? Just walk away? I mean, as I'm sure you know, Ukraine is not part of NATO. So should we just walk away and not help them at all?
Are you looking for similar resources from Israel?
I'm not going to comment on Israel.
Why?
I don't comment on Israel or Gaza.
You've commented on Israel.
You don't
want to
have me back
previously.
On. That's fine. But look, I will comment on almost anything except for that.
Wow.
So I'm sorry. I'm just being honest, and I'm totally willing to have discussion about
anything
else
but not Israel.
What?
Israel.
Probably not for the reasons that you would think. Probably not for the reasons that you would think. So,
I have no reason.
Anyway, but what I'm saying is, I think it is a creative solution, and I think it's going to benefit Ukraine. It's going to benefit the rebuild of their country, which continues to be destroyed and does every day until we can agree this peace deal.
Okay. 51551. Jennifer Ewing from Republicans Overseas UK and Fine Gael MEP Maria Walsh. Thank you both very much.